Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 7th of October, 2021. I'm joined by Thomas.
Hello.
There we go. And today we're going to be talking about the end of Labour and the future of the Conservatives, the Black History Month cringe, and also universities' social terrorists. And I think that is an apt description. But anyway, we'll get into that in a minute. First link mentions on the site. So first thing here being the new content on the site, the video Carl did. So this is freemium, so that's free and on the website as well. So you can have the nature of the globalists and the universal human, I think Carl titled this. So there's his speech about the somewheres and anywheres.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. So go and check that out. Also, if we get the next one, just want to mention, because always good to plug alternatives, is go and follow us on Minds.com, because, of course, we're there, verified by Minds, which is neat. And also, all the stuff gets posted there about the site and all the rest of it and everything else. So go and check that out. But anyway, without further ado, because the Labour one's going to be quite long. So let's get into it. So we're going to get into the Labour Party and the day 4 and day 5 of the compilations there. But the first thing is I want to lay out the Conservative Party as well, as Carl did yesterday, just some of the stuff that he mentioned or didn't. I'm not quite sure. But as we saw Boris got entangled in Cervixgate, the latest victim who failed this challenge of saying that women have vaginas, the Liz Truss position. So for God's sakes. Anyway, moving on from that, we go to Carrie's dumb speech. So she went to the LGBT plus Conservatives instead of the LGB Alliance, both whom are at conference. She chose one side, therefore she went along with Boris as well and gave her endorsement, let's say, de facto. She says in here, whether you're an LGBT plus or an ally like me, we are all committed to equality and acceptance of everyone. I was like, right, so you're literally a dimmy. You're a dimmy in the plus world. I saw some people comparing this to Conservative Plus, which I quite like.
So, yeah.
Yeah. The intersectional types. Anyway, moving on from this, we have the LGBT Conservatives who posted this thing. So this is their verified account. You can scroll down. There's a lady in the middle of this photo. Apparently, she's their head.
And, yeah.
I had some mates who went to Tory Party conference to see what it was about. And they went along to the LGBT speech to hang out with these people. And we have some more information, at least from my friends who went there. So he mentions that the girl in the middle there, that's the head. This is the imagery they're putting out as their thing, which, whatever. So my friend says, she gave a speech before Carrie pointing to their new female and BAME coordinators.
Don't know
what hell that is, but okay. And she also thanked Stonewall for buying all the booze, because, of course, Stonewall is in bed with the intersectionals, not with the ones for gay acceptance. And thanking mermaids for their partnerships promoting trans acceptance.
It's not in the slightest concerning that mermaids and Stonewall are bankrolling one faction of the Conservative Party.
No,
in effect.
And no one should ever be concerned about this.
Oh, no.
At least not Conservatives.
No. Yeah.
Okay, that's what that was. So he continued to write to me. Can't go into the details, but I had a lengthy chat with their comms director, who's a mate of mine. Traditional, moderate, gay guy. Heads in hands over this. They've been infiltrated by the intersectional ideologues, and he's properly stressed.
Yeah, and I've got a source at the conference as well to add to this, who says that this reform group have the nickname of the Gay Tory Mafia. And this is not the sort of gayness where gayness is understood as, you know, being sexually attracted to men. This is gay in the kind of political sense, where your sexual orientation actually has almost nothing to do with being gay. So this is very much the pink news line that Douglas Murray has alluded to several times.
Douglas Murray in his book, I mentioned it before, but there's like a section where he's like, yeah, there are gay men like me, and then there are queers. And he just goes on a big rant about how he can't stand people who being gay is their own.
This is basically the disconcerting attempt from the Gay Tory Mafia to actually reify what being gay ultimately is.
Yeah, which is not being homosexual or tolerant of such things.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I thought we'd go on and just have an example of what the future holds for the Tory Party. So we go to the next one here. We just have what stops this Conservatives. There we go. Have your segregated pride flag in your logo, because we all know it's coming. Anyway, there are some people who went along and did support the LGB Alliance folks. So we have the LGB Alliance here posting photos with Claire Fox, who came along and stood with them. I don't know if she's a Tory Party member. I think she was a speaker or something like that.
She was a member of the Brexit Party, wasn't she?
Yeah. I assume she's still aligned with Reform. because they had their conference as well. I just haven't had time to look into it. So if we move on from this, we go on to the LGB Alliance, who did some interviews because they were like, I don't know what the hell's wrong with all these people. But we don't stand for like putting transgender people in ovens or something, because this is the accusation that gets leveled against them. They hate trans people. No. They literally, like, he says about the fact that, no, we're here to focus on sexuality rights, and T isn't a sexuality.
Quite.
By definition.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's also the story I love from, what is it, Nolan Knows. He gave me the example. Like, if there's a man and a woman in the woods, right, and the man's attracted to the woman because he's straight, but then the woman says, no, I identify as a man. Okay, what happens now? Which one takes priority? Is the man now gay, or is the woman a woman?
Well, Ash Sarkar would say the man is gay.
Mm. But it's the point of LGB versus T, because fundamentally, one of those has to take priority over the others, in which case, one is valid and one isn't.
Yes.
And you do have to make a decision between those two.
Yeah.
Biologically.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Nolan Knows makes a great point. I just want to give him a shout out because that was a great short he did on YouTube. Anyway, so let's move on. So let's take a look at what awaits the LGBT Tories, which is we go to the Labour conference and remind ourselves of the sheer cringe. Day 4 there, if people want to go and watch it, it's like 20 minutes in that one because there were a load of debates in there that were unbelievable. And then we have the next one if we go to day 5. So day 5 was a little shorter because it was a shorter conference, and also it was mostly Keir Starmer saying, I hate the Tories. I was like, no one cares. No one cares what you think about this. Anyway, so we're going to focus on the alphabet soup, as some people have put it, and really is an alphabet soup. If we can go to the next link on there, we have Justin Trudeau talking in literal alphabet soup terms. People across the country are lighting candles to honour Indigenous women, girls, and 2S, LG, BT, Q, Q, IA, plus.
What is that?
It's like, you know, the Top Gear meme where he's like the Doppelganger or whatever, Wagen or whatever the fuck the name was, the really long car name in German. Yeah, that's what it's turning into. I don't know what 2S stands for. I don't care. But yeah, I mean, real alphabet soup right there.
Mm.
Anyway, so let's go to the first clip. And you may remember this delegate. I think it was her and someone else who were complaining about the fact that women were hurt hardest by the pandemic, our fellow women, and also says that she faces large-scale misogynistic abuse for being a woman. By women, incidentally, not by men. Let's play the first clip. And she gave another speech the day after.
On Saturday, our party chair mentioned trans rights and conversion therapy. On Sunday, we had a 3.5-hour debate on anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, Black Lives Matter, any other sort of bigotry. Sunday evening, straight after this that motion was debated, I was in the loo downstairs with a few of my colleagues from the Northwest, when I was transphobically abused in this conference centre by one of our sisters in this conference hall now.
Shame.
The LGBT community is one of the few that comes under constant attack alongside our Black and BAME colleagues. We are under constant attack every single day. In Liverpool, just recently, this year's Pride in Liverpool, over 20 attacks were made during Pride Month on members of the LGBT plus community. And the police have still not been able to catch the perpetrators. Conference. We are in a period of anti-bigotry, but we're still getting bigots. It's not on. LGBTQ plus people suffer unproportionately, not just through the pandemic, but beforehand, to get adequate treatment for their conditions. And the hardest thing to crack is prejudice. And this is what we need to stamp out.
Thank you, delegate.
Right.
Oh my god. I love it. Like the very old lady like pronouncement of prejudice.
Yeah.
Prejudice. Anyway, but it's also what we need to stamp out. And I'm reminded of the Orwell quote, which is, what is it? Like, if you want an image of the future, just imagine a boot stamping on a human face forever. But okay. Anyway, there are a lot of things in there that are of interest. I love the mention of, you know, me and my fellow women Just like you, fellow Browns, who are also oppressed people, because this is the worldview, of course. Mm-hmm. Also, the weird mention that the holy month of Pride, there were attacks that took place and outside of Pride.
All hate crimes, presumably.
I love the idea that, like, during the holy month of Pride, it's worse. So it's not Ramadan. What the hell are you talking about? Anyway, but there's a lot of stuff in there that's worth looking at, but we're going to move on because there's a lot more. So we got the next one, which is just some foreigner. I can't actually pin down her accent, whether she's a Yankee or a Canadian or something, but she's definitely some kind of colonist.
Let's see.
Doesn't sound right. Anyway, so she comes over and lectures Britain on wokeism and how to be proper wokers. Let's play.
Social scientist and a pansexual woman seconding COM13. LGBT plus are trans and intersex comrades. And they're non-trans comrades. Intersex people, literally the living embodiment breaking from the binary, a beautiful element of our human species. Much like racism, sexism, ableism, our struggles are not disconnected. This violence is nothing but a tool of division used to advance class violence and accelerate capitalist gain. This is a working class matter. Mainstream education deliberately fails to inform us. We are not fooled by gestures of conditional or strings attached care, nor do we mistake this as legitimate inclusion or protection. What we fail to teach each other is being used against us. But through anti-capitalist, decolonial education, there is strength in socialist collective knowledge.
That's just buzzwords.
It was amazing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, does that string half of that together? Does it make sense?
No.
The little cut-up I did there of, well, of her just talking about trans comrades is because she was dithering on. Mm. And I find the phrase trans comrades amazing. Also, yeah. Non-trans comrade.
Yeah.
How are you doing, my non-trans comrade? Like, you just mean people who aren't trans? Like, yeah. What are you talking about? Anyway, but the other stuff in there, I love the admission, essentially, that wokeism is just you take class struggle and replace it with sex, race, whatever, and then run the formula again, and then we have our movement.
Yeah,
like, yeah, this is going to make even more sense. Yeah,
which is precisely why the throwing in of capitalist imperialism just makes no sense, because she just made an argument for why that now has no meaning.
I love how it sort of sounds like she's upset that there are capitalists out there selling N-word passes or something, and they're making money off discrimination within our system, even though you can't point to it. But okay. Yeah, that's amazing. She also, the context there for her talking about, what is it, anti-capitalist, decolonial, socialist education, that was in reference to the fact that composite they voted on was to, it was a composite saying that we should restructure the entire curriculum in the UK to be more inclusive and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And all the rest of it. So it was like, right, so we're going to rewrite it into a bunch of garbage. Right. Fantastic. Yeah, so that's her. Could you tell if she was Canadian or American from that? Because
I wouldn't want to guess. I would say
it's getting harder, isn't it?
I mean, her accent's kind of soft, so I would lean towards Canadian, but I don't know.
I suppose the Canadians and Americans in the chat can tell us. Anyway, but the next one here is a councillor from Tower Hamlets who came to tell us about the problems of being gay in Tower Hamlets.
Ooh.
Let's play.
Ben Brady of LGBT plus Labour and a councillor in Tower Hamlets. Thank you. Well, conference, the idea that progress is an unstoppable force, never to be curtailed, the idea that we can't start to slip backwards is dangerous and untrue. Hate crime is rising in the UK. 1 in 5 people still say they would be uncomfortable having gay neighbours. That rises to 1 in 4 for a trans neighbour. A majority of LGBT plus people don't feel comfortable holding their partner's hand in public. And just a few weeks ago, in my borough of Tower Hamlets, Roy Kankanamalaji was murdered in a suspected homophobic attack.
So he makes 3 claims there, that the country is anti-gay because 20% of the population apparently don't want a gay neighbour. 25% don't want a trans neighbour. And a guy in Tower Hamlets who was gay was killed for being gay. Okay, all things I can agree are not something that should happen.
Of course.
Wonder if it has anything to do with Tower Hamlets. Just saying. So we'll go to the next article here. We have an article from The Independent. There was a survey done a while back where we're trying to find homophobia in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought they'd find like a bunch of homophobes in Yorkshire or something.
Awful gammons.
Yeah, London is more homophobic than the North is the headline.
It's published by The Independent as well.
Yeah, because it turns out that cities that aren't English maybe have opinions that aren't very English either. Let's put it that way. So anyway, we'll go to the the next one, which is just the demographics, to make the point. If you can go to, I think it's page 4 on here, there's the demographics of Tower Hamlets, and they have the list as 31% white British, 32% Bangladeshi. So they have it, 31% white British, 32% Bangladeshi, the rest of it being other smaller ethnic groups.
I don't understand. How could diversity possibly facilitate homophobia?
I don't know. I looked it up. Apparently, Bangladesh has life imprisonment for homosexuality. It might have something to do with it, but I don't know. Anyway, Allahu Akbar. Let's move on to the next one. So if we go to the next set of data, so this is by the government as well, looking at the schools of Tower Hamlets, because remember, the children are our future. So what's the situation for that councillor and where he lives going to go? And in here, they have the statistics at 63% Bangladeshi. Students in Tower Hamlets, 63% Bangladeshi. I love how they write the next statistic there. The second largest ethnic group, second, is white British, making up 9% of the school population. 9% of the school. All schools in Tower Hamlets, 9% of the population are white British. Well, that's 63% Bangladeshi. I'm sure things are only going to get better.
Oh, certainly. Yeah, I'm sure in the years to come, things will get considerably.
Why a lot of Jews have also left that region of the country. If you look at a map of just like synagogues in London, there's like a big circle now of just nothing. And it's like, I wonder why that happened. Anyway, so let's move on. So let's go to the clip 4, in which a comrade in the audience admits that identity politics is a big old sham, which is amazing.
Hurrah.
Conference. I stand before you, or sit before you otherwise, as the right wing and Tories' worst nightmare and an equal opportunities officer's wet dream. I'm a woman. I'm a refugee from Chile, thanks JC. I'm an LGBTQ person. And I'm disabled. Quite frankly, I feel I should take up a religion and then I'd have the whole bloody house.
Only that you already do.
Yeah, I mean, it's already just funny enough where she's like, yes, my primary identity is the only thing that makes me interesting. A woman. Also, I'm an LGBTQ person.
Yes.
She had to think for a second there.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's that. And then I love the fact that she's even making fun of the idea that what she's promoting here by saying, I should take up a religion, then I have everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost as if defining yourself by group identities as the primary thing is a dumb idea. But okay, whatever. That's how she views herself and wants the world to be viewed. Anyway, so that's the say some nonsense there. And then there was a moment of sanity in all of this. Like this one woman who, I don't know, has had her eyes closed for the last 20, 50 years or whatever it is, and came up and gave an argument for free speech and tolerance and got booed. So let's play the next one where she stands with Rosie Duffield.
For daring to express beliefs which she is imperfectly entitled to hold. Conference, I stand with Rosie Duffield and even if I disagreed with her, I will defend to the death her right to express her views without being subjected to a torrent of misogynist abuse.
Delegate, that's... everybody can... I think Yasmin, when she was chairing, said this really nicely yesterday. Like, let's listen to each other respectfully and let's not boo and heckle each other.
I love, like, we have to not boo and heckle each other when someone says, maybe we should listen to other people.
Yeah.
I mean, the phrasing there, she has views that she's imperfectly titled to hold.
Yeah.
Not perfectly, imperfectly. So even giving her the length of, she may be wrong, but, you know, we should let her out. Also, we should defend to death her right to say things. And Conference is like, not on my watch.
Not on my watch.
No, you know, we're not having this. We're going to shut you down. So they start booing and heckling her. We'll get back to them in a minute. You may have noticed the woman I tried to point out in the middle there with her hands up, desperately trying to speak. Mm. We'll come back to her. And firstly, I want to go to something that came up next in the race debate, which isn't relevant to the LGBT stuff, but I have to include it because it's amazing. And it's there was a competition me and Carl were having where you'd have them come up and be like, yes, I'm the first black councillor of blah, 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 blah. I'm the first black mayor of such and such. I'm the second Indian. And it got like more and more obscure.
Mm.
And I think we finally found the deepest crevice of intersectionality. Let's play this.
My name is Councillor Bashir Ibrahim, and I am proud to have become a councillor in May this year in a by-election. One of the first black male councillors in Islington in over 3 years.
Okay. One of the first. So there were others, presumably. Black male councillors in Islington In over 3 years.
And how many elections do they have every year?
I think councils, aren't they elected every 4 years or something?
I was going to say, do they have different rules for elections there?
I love it. I love the idea.
Every 6 weeks or something?
But it gives you a great view into the future of intersectionality. I mean, I'm the first X or second X or blah, blah, blah. It's never going to end.
Like, no.
You know, we'll get the next black president. It'll be like, yes, I'm the first black president in 8 years. It's like, okay, right. That's how that's going to go. But yeah, something to keep in mind. Also, I love the idea that we could just start defining ourselves that way. I'm the first white male in 4 years. You know,
we're already at the point where we can make up how we're oppressed. So, get some possibilities around this. Yeah.
Anyway, so then the next day came, day five, and we got two clips out of this in relation to the alphabet soup. And we have the first lady who came up to demand that Rosie Duffield lose the whip because death to tolerance and free speech, I suppose. Let's go for this clip.
Absolutely disgusting that some people are being left out. Absolutely disgusting. Conference, my name is Jennifer Kay. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a proud Unite member, delegate from Newark CLP, and I am a trans woman. I am terrified. Terrified because yesterday, bigotry is allowed on this stage, unchallenged by the chair or anyone else who spoke. Terrified because Patricia Hannah Wood was harassed in this centre for being herself. And terrified because when I leave, I don't know if I'll face the same harassment for being a woman, for being trans, or because I'm up here speaking on behalf of my community. The silence is deafening. Keir is most likely about to speak about a party united, ready to win. But the party has MPs that still believe we don't deserve our most basic rights and still allow transphobia within these walls. Conference, we won't be united until trans people feel safe here. Labour must deal with transphobia in all its forms, and Labour must remove the whip from Rosie Duffield.
Yeah, got to give it a socialist fist at the end of there.
Yeah.
Nasha Tavarish, or whatever trans is. And
so they want diversity, but not diversity of opinion. And they basically want to subject or to castigate anyone who has an opposing view about the relation between biology and gender. As a heretic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise they won't feel safe.
I love how she's also accusing conference, the Labour Party. The Labour Party itself is transphobic. There are other speakers who also accused it of being racist and sexist and throughout the whole thing. So I can we just condemn it entirely? I mean, it's already anti-Semitic, proven in court. So yeah. Anyway. But did you also mention her pronouns, which she had to?
Mm-hmm.
Most people don't. And then she mentioned that her trans comrade, the lady we heard at the start of this, was in the bathroom and was abused, as she mentioned. And I just, like, she never went into what that abuse was.
No.
Ever. She could have gone to the press. You know, a lot of papers there, a lot of news stations.
Mm.
Didn't expand. I think it was just that someone said, you're not a woman. And that was the abuse. That's the extent of it.
Yeah, well, that's what I expected.
Mm. Prove us wrong, lady. Go out and go and give an interview about your lady problems. Anyway, there's one more here. So this is the last trans comrade who gave a speech. I don't think she's actually trans herself, but she's still a trans comrade, let's say, or non-trans comrade.
An ally.
No, non-trans comrade.
Right. Must toe the line.
We got new terms. Anyway, so this is the lady I pointed out a couple of times, because she was daring to speak about the horrible transphobia of the lady saying, how about we have some free speech? That was her speech. That was all it was. It was just, how about we have some tolerance? That's transphobia. Tolerance is transphobia. Mm. And here's her argument. Let's go for this.
Conference, I'm standing on here because, I know we've only got a minute, but the trans comrades have not been included in this conference. You go in the toilets in there and there are stickers that say women's sex only. They're having to do sweeps every half an hour. I was heckled outside of conference as an LGBT person, handed leaflets, and was heckled saying that on dating apps, lesbians are coerced into having sex with people with penises. This never happens. Conference, we have to stand up against transphobia. Yesterday you allowed a person to stand on this stage with Women's Declaration and stand in solidarity with Rosie Duffield. At the same time, in Birmingham, a trans woman was stabbed because she was trans. Conference, words have meaning. Words have power. And I echo
can they complete a sentence
my
without
trans
adding
comrade
a non-sequitur
and call on Keir Starmer to remove the whip from Rosie Duffield. Thank you, Conference.
Seals. I mean, she stands up and is like, yeah, this woman said, how about free speech? A trans woman was stabbed.
Yeah.
She did this.
Yeah.
We know it. Okay. There's a bunch more in there. I mean, I love how she had to say, what was it? women on dating apps are being coerced by people with penises. People with penises. Don't know what she could be referring to there, but the people with penises, I'm sure, do. And also the idea that I saw Alistair Williams, he's a comedian who did a viewing of that. I loved his response to it, and I'm going to give him a great shout. Go follow Alistair Williams wherever you can. Because he was watching it, and he just went, these people can't even be in charge of a bathroom. Literally, their own bathroom at the conference. They've got people doing sweeps. What are they sweeping for? For little stickers that may offend them. They're taking them down. That's a big problem. Call security.
Yeah.
Clear that up. But yeah, I've also added a Comrade compilation because I know some people wanted a Comrade compilation for, I don't know, the destroy their insanity or something. So enjoy that. But otherwise, we're gonna leave that there. And that's Labour Conference 2. We did it last year. Cringe. This year, big cringe.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it dies. Speaking of cringe.
Speaking of cringe, right. So, as I'm sure you're aware, and the majority of people are aware now, it is Black History Month. I mean, I don't know about
you.
Do
we have to clap or something? Or,
we probably should.
Woot.
Yeah, that would do. But it, of course, it very much feels like it's been, at least to me, Black History Month for the last year and a half since BLM successfully monopolised the entire discussion on race after George Floyd's murder. But as you'd expect, the overwhelming majority of companies and institutions, small and large, seem to have bought it, or at the very least are doubling down to posture the idea that they have bought it. So, what I picked out are some snapshots from the co-op, which was sent to us by one of our subscribers. Thank you very much for sending this through. Which says, we are proud to be supporting Black History Month. October is Black History Month, a month of celebration but also reflection and learning. It's a time to reflect on the diverse histories and achievements of Black people and their significant contributions to society, even in the face of long-standing challenges and injustices that exist today. We know that Black people aren't treated equally. This is unacceptable and an uncomfortable fact. And as a business, we want to use our voice to make change happen societally. We know from hearing directly from colleagues the impact that racial abuse and inequality has on their lives, and quite simply, we have to act. We want all colleagues who work for our co-op to feel included and that they belong. You'll hear more about our commitments to racial equality and inclusion in 2020 and our progress soon. Oh, so this must be, did it say 2020? Is this, yeah,
no,
this
2021 is, at the top there.
Yeah. Oh, anyway. But yeah, we've literally heard this on repeat for the last year and a half, haven't we?
Just for foreigners as well, I might not know who the co-op are. This isn't weird niche communist thing in the UK. This is a major food brand, for example. I think they do a lot more than just food as well.
Yeah.
It's like Walmart or something.
Yeah, and they do funerals as well.
Mm. Banking, all sorts of things.
Yeah. So their reach in terms of services is quite wide. But lectures about Black history have basically been ubiquitous for some time. I mean, hence the fact that pressure to implement like mandatory diversity and inclusivity and unconscious bias training has been unrelenting. I mean, we've heard stories like this almost constantly for the last year. I mean, quite recently, you may have heard, the University of Kent, according to the Times, have now decided that students at the university must take a white privilege course before they even get to begin the courses they're actually paying for. And all of this is in virtue of naturally pressure from Black Lives Matter, you would think, who have made Black History Month almost a permanent event. But anyway, let's move on to the second part of this and the more cringeworthy fragment of this virtue signal, as you will see. So this is Steve, the chief executive of the co-op. As a white man, I know I have privilege, and I know that I'll not face into the experiences that Black people do every day because of the colour of their skin. It does say that, doesn't it? That's why, for me, learning is so important. I want to use this month to reset, to gain more insight into what it's like to be a Black person working for the co-op, a Black person living in the UK. I say reset because this learning needs to be continual. We can't stop learning about Black history or the experiences Black people are having because Black History Month comes to a close on the 31st of October. When November comes, I'll still be seeking to understand our Black colleagues' experiences, questioning myself and others, and seeking opportunities to learn more. Ultimately, I want to use my own privilege to support our Black colleagues and make a difference, and a key focus for this month is for me to understand what needs to be tackled right now and how I can do this. Is there any substantial content to this monologue whatsoever? I mean, this could have been summarised as follows. I'm privileged because I'm white and Black History Month is important. I mean, in what he hasn't, for example, explained exactly why he is privileged, what white privilege even means, and what specifically is the UK, well, he hasn't talked about this at all, what specifically is the UK failing to cover on the matter of Black history? mean, I wish he was here to speak for himself, of course, but I would assume he has no idea. So put simply, this is just a virtue signal, and Steve, you should stop it. So let's move on to Shrine, who is the CFO and chief executive. Black History Month gives us an opportunity to properly showcase and understand how black people have made Britain what it is today. Their blood, sweat and tears created great wealth for this nation. However, the other side of this coin is a story of imperialism, greed and abuse. Until recently, this history has not been adequately discussed, documented or taught in schools. Recent news that Welsh children will learn about black history for the national curriculum should be applauded. So, in what way, Shrine, has the national curriculum ignored the contributions that black people have made to the Western world? I mean, when, for example, you were taught history in secondary school, do you not remember this being covered comprehensively? Because I do.
What I remember was studying foreign history. I don't actually remember us focusing on Britain at all. Yeah. So that's probably another aspect, but then I'm going to blame these people for that.
Yeah, but this does not mirror... I learned about this quite a long time ago when I was about 11 or 12. So I can testify for the fact that this is not right. I mean, in year seven, I thank Mr. Jackson for this, if he's listening. The first thing I learned in history was about biases and historical context. That was the very first thing that I learned. That's probably the most valuable thing you can actually learn about history, because it shows that naturally you can't literally take things as piecemeal. And after that, we learned about the brief history of the slave trade, which we covered again and again in subsequent years, and we moved on to Martin Luther King, who's probably the most important person in the Black Liberation Movement. So, are the post-racial principles of Martin Luther King now part of this story of imperialism? Is that what we've now got to accept?
Yes.
A silly question, of course.
The opening text of the Critical Race Theory book, for example, Carl's got, they literally list Martin Luther King and his movement because it's for not separate societies in which blacks can thrive, but instead for integration. He's integrating himself into the white supremacist system.
So they've made it as explicit as that.
Yeah, they literally write Martin Luther King, blah, 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 blah. Wait, you know, I have to get the quote back up, but that is the argument in the opening. Like the introduction to the textbook.
Okay, well, needless to say, that makes sense. Actually, it doesn't make it any less depressing. However, but nonetheless.
Oh, so is she talking about UK teaching black?
I presume
English
she's
history?
Talking about UK teaching.
Because Martin Luther King doesn't have anything to do with that. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, she just doesn't mention Martin Luther King. It was basically just my. I brought it up for the simple reason that my history teacher quite clearly was already concerned. And thus, there was, of course, an acknowledgement that this should be a matter of concern in the national curriculum, that we discuss these things in virtue of the things that, I suppose, Black History Month is about. The point is, we've already been covering this ground. It's not like we've actually purged this out in virtue of white supremacy. Like, this is explicitly wrong. And ultimately, it should be exposed as the PR stunt that it ultimately is. But anyway, we'll move on from the co-op for now and move on to Marks and Spencer's, who have gone even further by launching an entirely new fashion line.
For black people?
Not for black people, no. But so they've announced a new partnership with England rugby star. Again, I'm sorry if I pronounced his name wrong. Maro Itoje. So Maro has teamed up with M&S Menswear to front the collections for autumn 2021, where he will showcase a versatile range of stylish products with broad appeal across M&S collection and Autograph. The autumn ranges feature a number of more relaxed silhouettes and stretch fabrics with the new collections are all designed with style, trusted quality and care for the planet in mind values, which Maro proudly shares with Marks and Spencer's. And if we go down to the community and inclusion section, which is that's of greatest interest. In addition to his professional rugby career, Maro is also a patron for the Black Curriculum, an organisation which aims to provide a sense of belonging and identity to young people across the UK by teaching an accessible arts-focused Black British history curriculum in schools through the delivery of programmes, as well as supporting teachers through teacher training. M&S also supports the initiative of one of its community and inclusion Sparks charities, and this October, Black History Month, the penny donation for MS every time a customer shops with the charity selected as their Sparks charity will be doubled. And Itoje says himself, the Black Curriculum is a wonderful social enterprise that looks to increase the amount of Black history taught in schools. The brilliant work they do is what got me involved. I wanted to be a part of it and help in any way that I could. For a start, I think the new clothing line, if we actually have a look at him in the clothes, actually looks pretty good. I just want to say that. But as there's Mara Itoji modelling it, and that's from a heterosexual perspective, I must make that explicit. But again, I think any rational person would be put off by the fact that it seems like a person of colour is being tokenised to sell clothing to a customer base that, let's be honest, is comprised overwhelmingly of boomers who progressives hate. I mean, if you could actually define a kind of like a boomer market, or a company that ultimately appeals to a boomer market, for me, Marks and Spencers is very much that. But anyway, so very well thought out, Marks and Spencers, well done.
I can't get over, hang on, why is Black History Month in October? I thought it was February as well. Like, I know in Britain it's different, but I don't know why.
I don't know.
It also seems kind of racist to put it in the same month as Halloween, but whatever.
Anyway, so that's that. If we move on to Sainsbury's, so Sainsbury's have done a couple of things. First, they've uploaded a video of some of their colleagues reading out a poem by Bikita Kasada. Let's give this a listen. Oh, is there no video there? Yeah, there it is.
You have to let me clip them. I have no idea you want to play anything.
Oh, sorry.
Being black in the UK
is having more than one place to call home.
Where are you really from, though?
Not having to remember elders' names.
They're all aunties and uncles, anyway.
My bun is no political statement.
Even if it's rare.
You still can't touch my hair.
More role models on screen than ever before.
Only embraced.
When we're winning.
My identity is a source of pride.
We find belonging in each other.
Our spice.
Styles.
And moves.
Shape the culture.
Well, I love kind of the gaslighting tactic implicit here, consisting of this is not a political matter. Despite the fact that, of course, multiculturalist political presuppositions are all over this. I mean, the biggest clue is at the early iron is that it reads that there is more than one place to call home. Not sure if you picked up on that. Well, on principle, this doesn't sound all that bad. One can, of course, find home in more than one little platoon. But anyone with a political head screwed on can identify that little platoons are not what's being inferred here. What's being inferred and thus transmitted as a social universal is the idea that people of different ethnic backgrounds shouldn't feel obliged to integrate into the parent culture and, by extension, the parent societies. So even if Sainsbury's are aware of this or not, this is nonetheless what they are propagating. That cannot not be political. They've made another contribution, which is about the improving their African and Caribbean product offering. If we scroll down just a little bit. Up a little bit. Oh, no, it is down, sorry.
Don't worry about it.
What they're doing is offering a more comprehensive range for African and Caribbean meals.
Sorry, it comes down to it. Yeah, we're selling black people food. Black people buy our food.
Yeah, that's quite literally what it is. Maybe I'm being ignorant here, but who's ever objected to having more choice in supermarkets?
But also, a lot of Caribbean food is actually kind of it's kind of integrated, let's say, like curry is to Britain.
Well, that's what I thought. And isn't it part and part of British culture to kind of welcome the choice?
But no whiteies are touching the jerk chicken. Not allowed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, let's not, of course, forget that Sainsbury's were the company who, well, for Black History Month last year, created safe spaces defined by the fact that white people couldn't enter them.
I was going to say, I mean, it's not too outlandish. I mean, we did the leaks as well. Like, we got sent loads of leaks. There's articles about it on notices.com. And Sainsbury's, of course, being the ones that segregated their own workforce by race in the little safe spaces for the people who weren't white. I was like, okay. Yeah. So then they were there. But also the cart. We had loads of stuff from them. We were literally like lecturing their staff on how to be good white people. I was like, what does that even mean? Mm. Like, here's extra lectures for you whiteies to learn how to be good because you can't be trusted or something. I mean, I used to work for the co-op as well, so I know how bad they can be, but it seems they get worse and worse every year.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they seem to be doubling down on the standards they've already set. So, regrettably, it does seem like this is the line now. Yeah. Anyway, that is the cringe of Black History Month.
Anyway, moving on. So we have, I don't know if you want to cringe, actually. I'm kind of So let's cringe more threat. So we're going to talk about universities social terrorists, because I think it is accurate to call them as such. I think that phrase was first used, the first place I heard it at least, was Louis Levy. I think it was berating Carl, saying, yeah, you're not being hard enough. Social justice warriors, they're not going to do it. You call them what they are, terrorists. And they're standing up to their name, at least in the UK. So let's go for this one. So this guy hid his tweets before the stream, so I had to go and get the archive. The internet never forgets, my friend. Don't bother trying. Anyway, so we have here, this is Francisco over here, who describes himself as a historian at Sussex University. Feminism, queer, empathy, compassion. Empathy and compassion. Feminist, queer. Right, okay. He's also, of course, as I said, an historian at Sussex University. This isn't even a rando. This is a guy who was employed by the university. So what do you have to say? So he put out a bunch of signs that were put up around the university. I'm just going to read out the signs first. And the signs say, Kathleen Stock makes trans students feel unsafe. Sussex still pays her. It's not a debate. It's not feminism. It's not philosophy. It's just transphobia. And it's not on. Fire Kathleen Stock. And then the last one here being, as you can see, a little anarcho-communist flag with a snake on it. The traditional one from the Don't Step On Me, except mm-hmm. It has the caption, what is it? We are only safe together.
And a snake would endorse that, right?
I such a bastardization of the Gadsden flag, though. Yeah. You know, don't step on me. Like, no, I need everyone together or we're not safe. Literally, like, collectivism embodied there. And as you can see, the snake in the trans colors. Because collectivist, trans, anarcho-communist community. Right. Mm. Okay. So, in here, he decides to write, today, en route to work at Sussex University, security rushed to remove them at 8 a.m., I agree with the posters. That's not feminism. Someone who debates the validity of trans lives by starting their essay with the words, let's do a thought experiment, is not a philosopher either. You mean where? So this guy is super mad that this woman on campus has said that women are women. Her position. And that's verboten. Can't have that on campus, can we?
Nope.
That's you not even doing philosophy. That's just you trying to hate trans people. Rightio. But also the idea that you can't be a philosopher if you ever use the terms, let's do a thought experiment. Idiot. Anyway, so he carries on. Just a populist use of philosophy as a discourse to legitimize ignorance. It's not ignorance. I feel like you're the ones who are ignorant of biology. It doesn't feel right to wish a colleague should be fired. Then don't. But it's not been right for colleagues working in the same school to be afraid to talk about Stock for fear of litigation. This is shameful. So you think she's going to sue you because you're going to claim something that's untrue. Because they sued you and you didn't claim something untrue, she wouldn't win. And she'd have to pay the cost. That's British law.
Yeah.
Anyway. So he continues, the virulent and oppressive implication of Stock's public speaking about gender have made many people unsafe at the university and beyond. I salute these posters and an expression of resistance, intelligence, and solidarity. Transgender flag. And I was like, okay. Rightio. Again, with the wokeism, just retake class struggle, replace it with, let's say, trans on this one, and now it's trans comrades versus non-trans comrades. Mm. It was like, people are pathetic. Anyway, but he put this up, and the thing in my mind is he didn't run across those posters. He's saying security took those down.
Mm.
I think he might have been implicated. In my experience of university politics, usually the lecturers, as you can see with his bias here, he is very much in favor of this, and I think he knew about those posters. It's probably with the people putting them up. Took the pictures, and I was like, oh no, security took them down, but don't worry, I've got the photos. Because if they took them down so fast, how did you get the photos, my friend? Anyway, moving on, the group itself, the group has decided to claim it's a bunch of terrorists, which, interesting. So this individual, as you can see, trying to respond to him, but he's tried to run away. And they have just the Instagram posts. And if we can go on these images, the first Instagram post is the group claiming responsibility for trying to terrorize this lecturer out of university, because she a bad woman. And you can see them there, stock out, bunch of smoke going off, because... loser. I mean, what are you doing with your life? Get a job, you hippie. Anyway, if we go to the next image here, we have their writing in here. And I cut it down because of the sake of time, but we're going to read what I think are the best bits. So they write, Stock is one of this wretched island's most prominent transphobes. Congratulations. I love the idea of like, yep, you out of everyone on the planet, you're okay. Also, the wretched island, of course, they hate Britain because they always do. Yep. Espousing a bastardized variation of a radical feminism, in quotes, they don't accept.
Feminism that acknowledges the legitimacy of biological sex.
Yes. That excludes and endangers trans people. Doesn't endanger them. Literally saying words, not hurting anyone.
No.
Is not changing the law, doing literally nothing. But no, that endangers trans people because someone might disagree. and that's going to cause harm. She has spent years campaigning for the exclusion of trans people from women-only spaces. Again, women-only spaces in quotes. I have to ask what those are, because, of course, they never define what a woman is, except from what you define it as I want to be. And I remember the segment we did a little while back about the people harassing that Democratic congresswoman in the bathroom and being like, yeah, this is a public space. Like,
yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so moving on from that, they say that she's upset because she wants the female bathrooms to be with women and against trans and non-binary people's right to self-identify as any gender. They can do it all they want. It's just if anyone believes them. Transphobes like Stock are anti-feminist, anti-queer, and anti-intellectual.
Again, anti-intellectual.
Just the first one being just she's a heretic. The last one, anti-intellectual. Why? Because she disagrees.
Yeah.
But okay. Like, if I have a debate with you and you disagree with me, you're anti-intellectual. I'm shutting this debate down. Mm. I'm not the anti-intellectual for saying that we can't have debates anymore because we have the revealed truth. They're spiteful bootlickers. Again, with the bootlicking, you should. I love how leftists always talk like this about, like, there's the you're the bad guy because you're licking the boot. You should be in the boot stamping on someone's face instead.
Yeah,
that's how I always think about it. With Stock alone spitting out years worth of tweets, articles, and organizing that makes her distaste for our existence abundantly clear.
Oh dear God!
Who cares what she thinks?
It's quite funny how these lobbyists seem to collapse their entire personhood into an abstract identity, almost as if it quite literally poses a threat to their life.
Yes. If you don't believe in their abstract identity, you are trying to kill them or something.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that's what I'm saying in my mind. Just who cares what she thinks? I mean, she's not dating you. You don't have to care what she thinks. Instead, no, this is your entire life. You're entirely focused on this lecturer because she said she doesn't believe you're a woman. Mm. You're totally sane, I'm sure. Anyway, so they move on and they say, but guess what? We are not up for debate. We cannot be reasoned out of existence.
You don't need to tell us that.
I love it. We are not up for debate. I know. It's evident what you are. And we will not let people try to. Reasoned out of existence. I don't need to. Just observe you and we can see. Mm. They camouflage their transphobia and academic language in fake feminism. It's not real feminism. In reasonable concerns. I love that. The damn people and their reasonable concerns. Anyway, and they and then we suffer in real material consequences of it. Can't point to them.
No.
No mentions of where this has happened.
I mean, quite literally everything they've appealed to is immaterial.
Yes.
If anyone is the materialist, it's Kathleen Stock, because she's actually referring to matter quite literally.
But they could argue philosophically, like, oh, they don't believe in our paradigm, therefore she's immaterially harming us, which still doesn't make any sense in the liberal world, but whatever, you know, that's their viewpoint. But material consequences. Name them if they're material.
Yeah.
Can point to them. You got kicked out of the university for being trans? No, you didn't. Mm. Anyway, moving on. So the University of Sussex has continued to employ Stock. Oh, the bastards. Her rhetoric has contributed to the dire state of unsafety for trans people in this colonial S-word hole. The university is a S-hole, as Trump would say about Haiti. Because, what? Well, they have a lady on there that disagrees with them. Okay. Whilst she profits from transphobia. I love the idea that she's just doing this job for the money. Like, the amount of, you know, vitriol and professional risk you take in saying, I don't agree with the insane cultists who run this country. But no, she's doing it for money. Like, you think it's less profitable to do that? I mean, like, if she became a diversity hire in the NHS, she'd get 200 grand.
Yeah.
I'm sure she'd be better off doing that. Mm. Anyway. So they say, we've effing had enough. We are anonymous. Okay. All right. We're an anonymous, unaffiliated group of queer, trans, and non-binary students. Anonymous.
Yeah, you could spot them from a mile off, couldn't you, most likely?
Like, go to the lecture and see if you can figure out which one's the queer, trans, non-binary student. I think it might be obvious.
Yeah.
Anyway. Our demand is simple. Fire Kathleen Stock. Until then, you'll see us around.
Ooh.
So, what are they going to do? Well, what can they do? I mean, literally nothing will stop them ideologically. She is literally trying to kill them. She's threatening their very existence. Well, therefore, what are you justified in doing if someone's threatening you with lethal force? Lethal force. This is the argument. I mean, if you think that someone is trying to kill you, philosophically, well, then you have the right to do whatever you want. And this is how this ends up leading to terrorism. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where it's going to keep on going if they don't step down on it. And I did have a good update on this, which is the University of Sussex has released a statement, which is weird, but I'd say it's okay. So they say, we are extremely concerned to see the harassment towards our staff member and took immediate action in response to this, which continues. makes me wonder about that guy who hid his tweets. Mm. I think he may have had a word had with him. We are deeply committed to being a safe and inclusive university. Stock rhetoric, you know. Anyway, so our role as a university is to facilitate complex discussions, to advance shared understanding and a common agreement. We insist that they are carried out respectfully without bullying or harassment. We will always take swift action when this occurs. Good. I mean, at least the wording there does seem to be that we agree the debate should take place.
Almost sounds like a university actually committed to the pursuit of knowledge.
Yeah, if you try and threaten the staff, you're in the wrong, not the staff.
Mm.
You freak. But anyway, so that's good there. But there's another case going on right now. So if we go on to the Exeter pro-life group. So this is another situation in which we have people trying to send death threats to people who dare to disagree with them. So this is a group, Exeter Students for Life. And take a guess. They think abortion bad because it's murder. You're murdering babies. And all babies are sacred because God made them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally, quote from them, we're all made in God's image. So all lives inherently have value regardless of their stage in development. Very, very basic. I mean, nothing radical, very stock, run-of-the-mill, let's say conservative, viewpoint on abortion. Nah, this is fascism. Gotta shut this down. Anyway, so let's go on to the next one. So we get the next link up. Exeter University Anti-Abortion Society sparks outrage and death threats. They got death threats for setting up a campus society that just says, yeah, I don't think abortion is right. I think people shouldn't be able to abort babies. Okay, so a petition has been launched to eradicate the society and already has reached 3,000 signatures. Many have fears that the group is, quote, a direct attack on women's rights.
Oh, good Lord.
Women don't already have the right to abort anything they want in this country.
Of course not.
Nor do they have anywhere on earth. Because, I mean, there's the thing. I mean, I don't have a strong opinion on the abortion argument, but it's, as Ben Shapiro says, a very simple argument. It's, is it murder, is it not? And if it's not, go ahead. If it's murder, then we make it illegal. And the debate is between whether or not it's life or conception or some period beyond that. And everyone agrees, except from the fringe lunatics that at the point of birth, like the day before, there's somewhere in between those two things we can agree on, surely. So the idea that having restrictions on abortion at all is somehow some kind of restriction on women's rights, they already don't have absolute ability to kill anything in their womb.
No.
We agree after some level of weeks, and I'm probably somewhere in some level of weeks is probably where it should be, just in case people are wondering. Anyway, I kind of think of, like, it's funny to just take the extremist conservative position on this, though, because the way they talk about it. So the creators of the petition, which has been signed by more than 3,000 people, said, university must be a safe space for healthy debate, a place where intellectual curiosity is able to flourish and people are able to turn and learn and develop their opinions. However, love that. I love free speech, but people disagree with me. By allowing the existence of a society based around an opinion, that belief is shielded from the necessary scrutiny that would normally occur. I don't know what the hell that means.
No, I was going to say.
It doesn't make any sense. So it is especially alarming when this society has adopted such controversial and harmful point of view, a view which is a direct attack on women's rights. So because they disagree, again, they are causing harm. Speech is violence. The rhetoric never ends. Now remember, these people don't stay on university. As we demonstrated in the first segment, they went straight to the Labour Party, and then in the second segment, straight into industry, because these people never die.
Raising a moral issue is a direct attack on women's rights.
Yes. Right. Debating me is an attack.
That's that. Yeah, that sounds like where we are.
Yes. Continuing with this, so according to the World Health Organization, 22,800 women a year die from botched abortions. So this is their reasoning as to why speech is violence, that women die of botched abortions. They don't say whether or not all of these abortions were illegal or legal, because of course you can still die from a legal abortion. These are much lower, of course, but not included that data. This is a direct result of those who wish to perpetuate the fallacy that no woman really wants an abortion, or that to have an abortion is comparable to murder. It is. That's why it's illegal beyond a certain number of weeks in every country on earth.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that you compare it to murder, yes. Yes, everyone on the planet, in any legislature on earth, as far as I'm aware, has said that, yeah, that is murder. But they say it's beyond these weeks, it's murder.
Yeah.
But okay, they want it to the point of birth then, presumably, because I don't know where else that leads you. If you can never say that abortion is murder at any point, well, where's the limit? Anyway, so not only is the existence of a society based around a single issue intellectually reductive, who cares? I'll set up a knitting society if I want to. That's intellectually reductive. Okay, I'm going to toss what you think. It was undoubtedly exacerbate the pre-existing stigmas around abortion, such as shame and self-loathing. Maybe you should. Maybe abortion is a bad.
Maybe there are more reasons behind that shame and self-loathing. Maybe it kind of refers to the nature of the act somewhat.
It's almost like we shouldn't celebrate abortions. Like, yeah. Even if, as someone who agrees that they should be available, we shouldn't celebrate them. They're necessary evil. You know, yeah. The Hillary Clinton safe legal rare. The rare part, acknowledging that this is a bad, but it's a necessary bad.
Yeah.
If we move away from that, then that leads you to where these people are arguing, which is to the point of birth. So Alicia Garces Torbati, I don't know how to say that, president of Exeter University Students for Life, said, "As a society, we speak up for the and take a stand for the rights of preborn children, 200,000 of which lose their lives to abortion every year in this country." Again, I mean, so like basic stock rhetoric. That's why I'm surprised the like, we must destroy this society at all costs. So if we go on, we have Exeter Law Society as an example of people who butthurt. And there were loads and loads of tweets I found, but we're not going to go through them because they're just random people. So who cares about that? But the Law Society here giving a statement, so this represented everyone on campus from the Law Department or the Law Society as people signed up. So by offering affiliation to this group, the goals of being radically inclusive and empowering are thrown into disrepute, they write. I don't care. No one cares about that. I love how these are, they say like it's written into the charter of the university. Mm. Therefore, if they ever do anything that's non-leftist, that's them attacking their own charter. It's like, yeah, it's almost if writing that into every charter in the country was a bad idea, Tony Blair. I mean, you remember, I think it was every public institution under Tony Blair was subsequently made to sign up to Equality, Diversity, Standards. So, it's almost like we should get rid of that, conservatives. So, Chad, yes. Having no standards is not a virtue. Don't know why anyone has to say that. We pose the question, they say, how are women to feel safe on campus with this regressive, misogynistic, and counterproductive ideal being endorsed?
Oh, dear.
The idea that they say all abortions are murder, the Christian group, but you already agree, surely, that some abortions are murder. Otherwise, where are you arguing that it should be done till birth? Yeah, so I love the idea that, like, oh no, shame for baby killing. Can't have that on campus. Anyway, so moving on from this, we go to the Free Speech Union, who I want to give a big shout out to, because in both of these stories, they have been notified and made themselves known, so they've been watching it like a hawk. And this is why I think people should sign up for the Free Speech Union as well, because they're just good guys. These issues go across every wing of politics, but not wokists, because they're the ones who never get hit by the law, let's say. But the guys are always here to step in and protect people to not be socially destroyed or legally destroyed. So they say in here, "We've offered our assistance and are pleased to say that Exeter Guild have put out a good statement defending freedom of speech on campus." Again, the connections to be able to call up the university and be like, "Hey, we're the Free Speech Union. What's your opinion on this?" And they're like, "Oh, crap." You know, there's not just the pressure of the left hitting them. It's then you've got an organization standing for liberal principles as well. So the statement from Exeter Guild: "We support freedom of speech. We are committed to the principle that both debate and deliberation should not be suppressed." And they say, "Well done, Exeter Guild. We need to see much, in big caps, more of this attitude in higher education." Absolutely. And again, this is why I keep bigging them up as being like, look, they can actually get stuff done.
Yeah, well, they're an actual effective counterweight to the student union.
Yeah, on a huge social level, as example by this, but also on a legal level, as example by some of the laws that are passing through. So if we go to the next one here, we can have The Guardian, who are very mad. What are they mad about? The effects of people standing up for free speech in law. "Free speech bill gives legal protection to hate speech, say Labour." Chad, yes, it's called free speech, you communist. Can't you know the reference. Anyway, so you get these people who are very mad that someone's going to come on campus and say something that's edgy, and it's like, yeah, that's kind of the point in the university. We're here to have debates about edgy things. Don't have to agree with everyone I ever listen to, because I'm not an NPC, unlike some people. Anyway, so there's that. If we go to the next one as well, I want to give a mention to the bill itself, which apparently is, I think it's at the report stage. If you scroll down, you can see it's in the parliamentary bill. So it's still bumbling around in there, and I will give props to Gavin Williamson. A lot of people don't like him for a lot of reasons, but this one I think he did a good job on, and so deserves praise. And that's going through, and will be end up going through. There are a lot of hawkish eyes on that. For example, I get emails from the Free Speech Union regularly, because I'm signed up as a member, and they're telling us, like, we gave evidence here, you know, we're working with people here. Great guys. But also, the university terrorists, they will stop at nothing. I don't think they have any limits, philosophically.
Well, they can't. They can't do.
So they will just continue. And it's good to see at least a nice story here where I can lay out, like, yeah, university, horrible situation happening there with a bunch of social justice warriors, or university social terrorists there. But we actually have a effective combating organization pushing them back. and defending the rights of the people to just say things.
And it would allow universities to be, by extension, universities, sources of learning.
Instead of daycares.
Yes.
Mm. Anyway, let's go to the video comments.
Edward of Spookstock. In short, it doesn't. It makes no sense to burn your own planet to own the Rebs. But Palpatine's pet droids order it, so everyone gets along with it anyway, with the exception of a few defectors. This is not how empires end, which is why I prefer the Diadochi Warlord State model. And this is saying nothing of the non-binary pirate who takes over a superstar destroyer as their own pleasure cruiser, and seems to serve no purpose except to be Chuck Wendig's original character Do Not Steal. This is why I consider nothing by Disney Star Wars pre-Mandalorian to be canon, and encourage you to do the same.
Have you seen The Mandalorian?
I haven't.
Nor have I.
But there's a very nerdy question, because I asked him for the answer, and I'm glad for the answer, which is that Star Wars writing made no sense. So in Battlefront 2, after the Empire dies, for some reason, the Empire decides, right, now's the moment to start destroying our own planets. Like, they go to a planet where everyone's loyal to the Empire still, and they just blow it up. Like,
right.
Right, okay, this makes sense. And this makes, like, one of the main characters you're playing as go and join the Rebellion, and you're meant to side with her, and I'm like... But none of this made any doubt. That was a great story up until then, and then was just like, what?
No, that, I don't get that.
Anyway, yeah. So thanks for the answer, which is, it doesn't make sense. Let's go to the next one.
As long as I keep myself organised, I should be able to keep on tap of, essentially, dates for when to go to taster days and job applications and keep on top of my job applications as well as my exercise. But, yeah, I actually am getting replies these days to my job applications, including to my dream job. The dream job I want to get has so much bureaucracy placed in front of it to try and stop people applying, because so many people apply to get it. It's a popular job to try and get into. So bureaucracy is put in place to stop people going into it. And I'm actually getting replies, so yay.
Oh, good for you, I guess.
Oh, good for you, yeah.
Yes. It's always nice to get good responses from jobs. Mm. Let's go to the next one.
Hey guys, remember, we're men. The only real way to resolve this Norwegian issue is which of you has the biggest boat? Unless, of course, you fancy Holmgang.
Biggest boats, did he say?
Oh, it's about the Norwegian boat chefs.
Oh, yeah, so, yeah. I saw this with Carl yesterday.
Yeah, so who has the biggest cruise liner is what I imagine that's going to come down to. But yeah, I love the idea that one day they're going to bump into each other on the same cruise. Maybe they should. Maybe they should call up their company and be like, hey, come on, it'll be funny.
Yeah.
I like the new name as well, Oligarch. Yeah. Let's go to the next one.
Just a friendly reminder, the Galactic Empire is not the British Empire. The British Empire did nothing wrong.
Yeah. Also, everything in the Galactic Empire is in the aesthetics of it are the Nazis.
Yes.
But then again, so was the Terran Federation in the movie, and that didn't make any sense.
Was that the case in the original trilogy?
In Star Wars?
Yeah.
I believe so.
Really?
I understand. I mean, they're stormtroopers and all the rest of it.
I thought that was just that was just Kathleen Stock's contribution, but no.
I may be wrong. I'm not a huge into Star Wars.
Oh, well. But yeah, British Empire did nothing wrong.
Endorse that statement. Also nice to hear from an American. My buddy. Also, America did nothing wrong. Let's go to the next one. What was that? What?
It's the Lotus Eater's theme tune.
Oh. Right. Okay. I thought I was trying to look at the swimming and being like, what? I can't recognize still stuff. But also the swimming. I was like, I thought there was a message to it.
I like the aesthetics. Yeah. Just say that on the editing front.
Let's go to the next one.
Regarding a Christian interpretation of hate, Psalm 4's "Be angry, but do not sin" comes to mind. Why would you be angry about something? It's not something you're indifferent about. It's because you hate something, say, injustice. And I think that's an appropriate use of the word. And we judge people on their actions, and certainly motives come from actions or events, not feelings themselves. So hate seems like a strong motivating factor, but what you do with it, hate itself just seems neutral to me, and that's self-evident to me.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. So
yeah, the same. I mean, Carl's not here to argue his opposing opinion. Mm. But I think we're kind of done with that debate as well. But yeah, additional insight. Good.
Mm. This is a response to that guy asking about teaching the other day. Yes, 100% do it. I'm a middle school teacher. It's a very stressful job, but it is a very rewarding job. As far as getting your teaching degree certification, if you don't want to deal with a bunch of lefty BS, because there's a lot of that, Catholic school. Find a Catholic institution. That'll definitely, you'll help avoid some of that. But once you're in the system, you can do a whole lot of good, especially public schools. That's where they need the most help. So by all means, I 100% recommend it. Do it.
There you are.
Yeah, advice for the guy. The thing that comes to mind is, I'm not going to mention their names or where they work, but there were guys who came to the live event, and they're the most evil geniuses I have ever met. Because they came to us like, yeah, we watched the podcast, and we're like, oh, great to meet you, da da da. Oh, by the way, we're all in the diversity and equality and inclusion committees. Like, what? It's like, they run the committees. They're like, right, you guys run the committees. And like, yeah, we're in there. We get to argue against their nonsense.
Brilliant.
They're literally like giving up their time or what else to be the reasonable voice that shoots down and sort of curbs the nonsense that comes through. So he gave me an example, and there was a lady in the committee arguing that if anyone's ever basically tweeted anything ever that we don't like, we should fire them. And he was in the committee, and he's listening to this garbage, and he just goes, no, 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 we stand for tolerance, and then gave some big spiel with all the buzzwords. But he meant that they reformed the new rule they were bringing through to the institution. That, no, 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 we're not going to fire anyone. We're just going to tell them, oh, you probably shouldn't have done that, and then move on. I'm like, great. Literally, like, I mean, yeah. Literally in the trenches, subverting the entire institution as it was set up. That's genius.
It's good that some people are ahead of the curve.
Yeah, but it's also some great advice. I mean, not only get into the schools, but if you can't pull out the woke stuff and completely subvert it, I guess. Mm. There are chaps doing it who came to the live event who are great guys. Mm. Yeah, let's go to the next one.
When my brother was 5, my mom asked him what he wanted to be when he grew up. He got very concerned, not realizing he had to think of such things yet. And finally said, I don't know, Mom, what's the safest job in the world? That same little guy, now that he's grown up, is becoming a welder, which is by no means a safe job. Not that any trade is truly safe. The most dangerous things I work with every day are electricity, power tools, and ladders.
Wait, so he's a welder? Does that include doing electricity and whatnot?
I think so.
Okay, in my head, I got like some guy, you know, with the big mask thing and a blowtorch or whatever. But yeah, okay, yeah, cool. I was saying my dream job, if I ever got a trade, would be doing electrics, because it's just neat, all right?
Yeah.
It's like Carl talking about, like, when he looks at woodwork and he gets like a special curiosity out of it. There's something about electrics that for me.
Mm. No, I can imagine how that would be rewarding. That's not so much for me. I guess, what would be my dream job?
If you got a trade, that was the caveat.
if I had a trade, I'll have to think about that, you know.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
Hey, Lotus Eaters. Tony D and Little Joan here with another Legend of the Pines, the Union Hotel in Flemington, New Jersey, from Weird New Jersey Magazine. The hotel was built in 1878 and is haunted by the ghosts of children. People have witnessed supposedly patent leather shoes, disembodied walking upstairs, children laughing, or just witnessing children running around the hotel and no one could seem to find their parents.
Creepy.
I don't know what to say other than when the United States finally allows unvaccinated people to the US, I'm going to go and just hang out with you. Show me all the sights. Bring Joan. Let's go to the next one.
Well, obviously, I'm the Danish girl, but I think me and the guys from Norway, we should make a band, and we should call ourselves the Ginger Navians, or the only people here who lives in free countries. Daily reminder. Everything is open up here and in Norway. We are free. How are you doing out there?
Not great, still. I can't get over how Denmark is so unbelievably based on so many things.
Mm.
I mean, the hell they went through with the cartoon crisis, I think, immunized them immediately against like the Islamist nonsense or the mass migration nonsense arguments. And then their government, I mean, I have no idea which party's in power or how they became so based, but they just seem to deal with these issues far better than anyone else.
No, they're probably looking to Sweden and thinking that's not how to do things.
Yeah. I love the Danish comedian. He's got that sketch where he's like, come in Sweden, here's the free world. Yeah. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
Hi, Lotus Eaters. Decided to cancel my beer subscription and spend the money on you guys instead. Really had a good time at the event you hosted a couple of Fridays ago. Bit of a mixed response as the only Labour Party member there, I'm sure, at least the only one who admitted it. Anyways, I'm not one of these £3 members. I pay significantly more to the Labour Party each year for my membership. Just wanted to say thanks very much. Enjoying your content. Bye.
Fair enough. I think I did meet this chap. I'm not entirely sure, mate, but if I did, I wanted to ask you more about the Labour Party, but the thing comes to mind, like I was watching, and I don't know if you went to conference or something, but there's some stuff I didn't get to include because it's just difficult, and sometimes the context wouldn't make sense in the edit and whatnot. But there were some debates where you'd get these guys coming up, and they're like 70 or something, and they're there to talk about their pensions, and the fact that them and their mates who went down the mines, or them and their mates who worked in the steelworks have been screwed over by the way the economy's changed, and that the government has screwed them on their pensions or something. And it just, like, I kept looking at them and being like, I feel so bad for them. I mean, the one people I can feel definitely bad for and just be like, you're in hell.
Yeah.
Like, your entire party, as it could be, let's say, is corrupt to the point that I don't even think they want them there. Like, when they were talking about, there's too many white men coming up to speak, it was like, well, who do you think's down the mines?
Well, they look at them in contempt.
Yeah.
It's...
I mean, like they voted. I think they voted down the segment. It was like the Steel Workers Union, the Gas Workers Union, and the Nuclear Workers Union all backed some composite, and it was a white man talking. And it was like, "That's it, buddy. That's all they need to see."
You are part of the immovable hegemony that must go.
Yeah, but anyway, that's my opinion after watching the thing. I do wonder why you're still there, out of interest, and if you think it could be fixed, give me some of that hopium because that's some strong stuff.
Mm.
Yeah, let's go to the next one.
Okay, so TF, you can put that seniority up your ass. And also, Callum, dating advice, find someone you like, then look for all the reasons why you shouldn't fall in love with the person. And then when you find none, propose, and then plan a wedding and have a wedding. That's what I did. Or, I haven't had a wedding yet, but that's on the books, so... Looking forward to it. Good luck.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, congratulations on your engagement.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, good luck to the wedding and whatnot. I do wonder, it seems to be a good rule for if you're going to live with someone, is write every reason you hate them. Like, what's the worst aspects of them? And just if there's not enough to be like, yeah, this could turn out bad, then it's probably a good idea.
Mm.
You know, like, these are the reasons, these are the things she does that I dislike, but they're not that serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my experience, although I imagine it's been the same for him, or at least that's what he's alluding to.
That's Jordan Peterson's advice as well, wasn't it? On
was it?
On children, but it kind of applies to no. God, that came out wrong. You know, one of his rules is never let your children do something that makes you hate them. I think the same principle can apply for a potential significant other.
Okay.
So,
he's not joining the Taliban.
No.
I love the idea of having a kid, you raise it and he gets to like 2, and you're like, yeah, let me write a pro and con list for this child. Cons outweigh the pros on this one. Anyway, let's go to the written comments. So, do you want to read these out, or do you want me to read them out?
Oh, I can read them out if you want. Sure. Right, so, Bomb says, 3.5-hour debate on anti-Semitism? What's there to debate about for so long? I guess it's to be expected from Labour.
Also, the action plan? He was like, yeah, I have an action plan for anti-Semitism. Again, with Alistair Williams, he was like, could you imagine turning up somewhere, like your business, right? Just loads of people in the business can't stop talking about how they just hate black people. They're constantly like, black people this, black people that. And you're like, oh God, what can I do? So you have to call up some company and be like, can you give me an action plan to get through to them? Because I've tried to tell them that black and white people, it's not a major thing. Treat everyone like the same, all the rest of it. They just don't listen. So I need you to come in with your 3-year action plan to try and sort this out. You'd think at that point maybe the organization's got something wrong with it,
perhaps,
or maybe you should just get rid of these employees or something like that. No, it's that bad that they need to call up someone to be like, yeah, can you write us a plan on how not to hate Jews? Because we can't figure it out ourselves. I mean, you can't be trusted with that. Sorry, this is such a good commentary by Alistair.
No, spot on. Right, George Happ. Carrie Johnson is a prime example of women's social power. She has all the influence over her husband and none of the responsibilities or accountability. Also, women in general prefer safety over freedom, and thus we have Build Back Better on our hands and leftist collectivist politics in general. Well, one thing I said on when I first heard that clip from Carrie yesterday was, I think we're looking at Meghan Markle II.
Yeah.
It's very much... We may be calling Boris Johnson Boris Simpson very soon.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. There's also, I've written a script for the differences between the Moon parties as well, because it's been on my mind. One of the other things here is that the Tory party being a leadership-heavy organization, him and his family are like demigods in the party, naturally, as just power works. But you wouldn't necessarily get that in Labour because of the hyper-democratization of everything. Like, you can propose a policy without having to know someone and get something done through the leader. Which is, there are, you know, advantages and disadvantages to both. And I have no idea which one's more cancer.
No.
Carrie or the screeching people at Labour conference, pick one.
I think that they could become more and more inseparable as time goes, but we'll just have to see.
Yeah.
Right, Charlie Rogers. The answer to cervix gate is easy. Females have cervixes. This will mean women and trans men are... as both are female. Males do not have cervixes, men and trans women. If we're talking about body parts, we need to go down the biological route, not the societal route. Language matters. Yeah.
Yep, totally true.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm upset with Boris, who his response was, what was it? Oh, biology is important, but... And then he just moved on to be like, yes, we should accept anything that
people say. But arbitrary claims to identity is just as valid as science, is what the implicit message was there.
Yeah. So why... What the hell is wrong with you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think I have a good idea what might have been on his mind then. Right. S.H. Silver. Right. 2S is two spirits, which is an indigenous American practice that has been crammed into the progressive alphabet.
The hell does it mean? Oh, I think someone's mentioned this before, isn't it? Like, do you believe that you're two different... I'm not going to say anything because I don't remember. Who even cares, to be honest? I'm sorry, but this has no bearing on any reasonable aspect of human life in any common place, except these like unique parts of Canada, let's say. That, who cares? Get out. I don't care about your alphabet soup. I'm not interested.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even going to engage with it. But thanks for letting us know. I'm not blaming you. Just, what the hell's wrong with you adding these alphabet? So.
Right, so Carl Gardner. So I watched through all 5 days of this Labour conference drive, and here is what screams out the loudest. The sheer amount of those people who are chosen to speak are just focusing on their own mental illnesses and identity politics. They are talking about how terrified they are in daily life over non-violent perceived threats, and all of their answers to this is either 1. More money, 2. More control of the freedoms of those they disagree with, 3. Tear down society as we know it because they think they have a plan to build a better one, and 4. Bring in socialism and communism.
Yeah, I also love the... There was a lady up there who said she was diagnosed with ADHD when she was an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And if this had happened sooner, you know, it would have helped her because suddenly her alcoholism, eating disorders, obese, and her mental disorders and all the rest of it suddenly made sense. I'm like, I don't think the ADHD made you obese and an alcoholic.
Quite.
I don't think that follows. Such code.
No.
But to the point about Two-Spirit, I'm wondering in my mind about, you know, we looked at... well, you weren't here, but we looked at people who were claiming that, say, I'm Callum, but I also have multiple personality disorder and think that I'm also Carrie, right? And sometimes I switch between the two, and then people were arguing that that's a gender. Like, would that come under Two-Spirit or something? It's a way for those people to sneak it under leaf. I want them to do it, because, you know, accelerationism.
Anyway. There's a moral argument for that, but... another time for perhaps for that. Right. No. As I happen to have quite a few gay friends, relatives, and colleagues at work, I know firsthand that this freak show in public we experience these days is not something that most gay or lesbians want to feel any need to fight for. They are just normal people who happen to like their own gender, and they just want to live their lives in peace and quiet. I mean, that's quite literally every homosexual person I've ever known, maybe with the exception of one.
I mean, we get... when we speak to people about this, I mean, there was a guy in the pub in Swindon. I forgot to give a shout out like 2 days ago or something, because he literally came up to us and was just like, you know, thank you for doing the podcast. I'm one of those people who agree with you that all this LGBT, you know, alphabet soup people stuff can go to hell. You know, me and my boyfriend having a drink over there. And there was a few guys we met at Academic Agents Conference and whatnot who were saying the same thing. It was just like, I think if you actually did a poll of those who identify as gay, maybe 90%. At least would be on the side of, I don't care what the weird Labour demi-queer fruitcakes are doing.
Yeah.
I just want to have a job.
Yeah, my concept of personhood is not collapsible into my sexual orientation. It's just a part of me, a small part of my personhood, but nonetheless, that's all it ultimately is.
Yeah, which is why it's so disappointing to see the Conservatives buy into that with the LGBTQ plus Conservatives. No, morons, you can literally be the opposition here and take up a huge voter base if you want to do real politic about it, but also it's just the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But, No, I don't care about that.
It's shocking, to be honest, but... Right.
Boy, I want to be unpopular. I'm a conservative.
Yeah. Right, so David Shipton. Ah, so the last big plan has come to light. When struggling to reveal, to find, sorry, real evidence of bigotry or the ists and isms, simply import all the bigotry you can, then accuse the indigenous.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally Tower Hamlet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was almost explicitly Tony Blair's plan to, what was it, smother us all in diversity, or at least that was what implicitly came out.
I can't know. I think that's it's meant to be a note from the Home Secretary, but I've never seen the note, so I am a bit suspicious when people quote it.
No, that's a fair point.
Jacqueline something. Because I remember I spoke Jacqueline Smith, something like that. I can't remember. But anyway, I spoke to Ian Dale on Twitter, of all things, and he actually was like, yeah, we can't find it either, because he had her on the podcast. Was like,
Would it not have been Barbara Roche?
No, I think it was Jackie something. But anyway,
fair.
Anyway, I'll read some for your segment.
Yeah, it's topic of future investigation.
So Matthew Hammond says, I thought Sainsbury's was a grocery. How does this pandering make their stores or produce better?
It doesn't.
God, like our spicy chicken is better. Why? Because Black History. But okay. So Ryan Redacted says Black History Month is in October, so we can celebrate the end by dress. No, not reading that. Man, they never think of the optics, do they? No, they don't, do they? And I'm glad I stopped myself before reading the end of that. But yeah, the Democrat attire of choice of the Klan is something that takes place on Halloween. God, I bet there are so many Democrats who still dress up as ghosts.
Yeah.
Moving on. Don't want to say that one. Noel says, it's Black History Month, but nobody knows because we get the same issues shoved down our throats every day, all year.
Yep.
Great observation.
Mm-hmm.
Tiber Fett, unless you pursue a directed history degree, you never really do a deep dive into a particular issues. It's usually just a broad brush across a sampling of topics. Given the proportional contribution Black people have in the UK, it's probably already gets disproportionate focus and depth of examination.
Yeah, that's exactly why historiography is equally as important.
It's an interesting way of framing the debate there, though, that he's brought up, which is, well, if we're looking at history entire, and then we say British history entire, well, for what period of time, of what percentage of Britons in history are Black, and therefore what percentage of the curriculum should be sectioned off for Black British history? It's going to be, what, less than 1% if you look at it that way? And it's a fair point. I love there's a book called, is it Black Tudors or something? And it's always touted, like all of the diversity guys are always like, ooh, Black people have been in Britain for ages. You ever read it?
I haven't.
I went to like a library in Amesbury and they had a copy. And I went through and I counted it, and it's like 8 people throughout the entire Tudor period. And then we did the calculation for like modern day Britain, like what's the proportion? It's the same as meeting a Zoroastrian in Britain today. Yeah, very common. Very common indeed.
Yeah.
Brian Tomlinson says, it's not Black History Month, it's Black Propaganda Month. History is good and bad, whichever colour you paint it.
The only correction I was is it's Black Lives Matter Propaganda Month. I think there are...
Yeah, Black Racial Nationalism Propaganda, that's very long. Mm. But I get what he's getting at, which is it's the obsession of the... he does use the capital B there for Black as well, which I imagine is intentful.
So yeah. That's a fair point.
The critical race theorists think about Black, they don't think of it as people with brown skin, like the Black Nation instead. Mm. And it's like, okay. So Nolan says, who is bored with woke virtue signaling by now? It has just started and Strong Forces wants to make virtue signaling mandatory by law, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, the left isn't, clearly.
Also, the law point. I mean, the Jordan Peterson, what was it, Bill C-16 or whatever? The compelled speech, that's never going to stop. They can carry on with that.
Yeah.
Henry Watkinson says, the YouTube Google ads for Black History Month have been extra cringe. They show guilty white people searching things like, is it okay to say Wagwan?
Saw that.
When is it okay to say Wagwan? Or how to teach about white guilt? What? I saw the first one. I didn't see the second one.
Oh, I didn't see that either.
God, send that in. Because we were in, when we were driving out of London from the live event as well, there's like big advertising, not propaganda, I swear. Big advertising posters for whatever. There was a bunch of Google ones that were like, when do I use this pronoun as well for a search? And I was just like, God, I'm glad to be out of that city. On the social terrorists, Nolnol says, enforced virtue signaling was a hallmark of the Soviet Union. The main reason they did it was to show people who were in charge and who were not. Yeah, I mean, it's the interesting... I can't remember if it was in Gulag Archipelago, but one of them that we read was talking about the fact that the lying in the Soviet Union was not necessarily just because you had to say something false, but everyone has to be in on the lie, and you all have to know that you're in on a lie as well. Mm. So it forms a sense of bond of unity between everyone who's part of the lie. Mm. Whether it be about production.
Yeah, well, this was arguably what it became the hallmark of the Jacobin movement as well under Robespierre, when everyone who wasn't seen to be sympathetic enough to the revolutionary cause, even if they didn't posture an allegiance with the counter-revolutionaries, was effectively killed. Hundreds of thousands of people were slaughtered because of that.
I just remembered, I think it's actually in the North Korea books. There was one of the writers who wrote that is part of the system from their perspective. I think it was the guy near the top who did like poetry, because... Mm. Weird system, but he made the observation that the system of lying and making sure everyone's in on the lie was a means of control, and they actively thought about it that way as well. It wasn't just a quirk of the system, as you might say, but no, they actively think about that's how we should organize the thing, which is just, I mean, if you know that you're forcing people to lie and you think that's a moral good, you think some light bulbs would go on, but
you think so, but
yeah. Bomb says it's very alarming that people have different beliefs. That is their perspective. Mm. This should not be allowed in a civilized society. Yeah, got to shut that down. Ignacio says, gaslighting seems to be one of the socialists' best weapons. I see it constantly. Once they infiltrate, their ideas are not up for discussion, and whatever opinions they have brought are retroactively made the truth for all time. And while they are trying to infiltrate, they will inject the idea that their ideology is normal and should be in your hobby, party, whatever. Sorry for rambling. I don't know if this is coherent. I thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems coherent to me. And yeah, it is. But it's again about just perpetuating the newspeak, isn't it?
I also find the interesting point there that the retroactive, this has always been true. Mm. There was in the Robert Conquest Reflections of the Rabbit Century book club, which you should go and watch if you're a premium member. Mm. And if you're not, sign up to go and watch it. Which is that Conquest made the observation that the fascists and the socialists both look back to like the peasant rebellions of Germany. As an example of a country where both of these are present, and the history they try and argue was that both of the peasant rebellions were for their cause, and therefore their cause has always been the cause of the German people throughout all times and histories, which is interesting when you think about it, because I didn't get to mention this, but the liberals don't think like that ever. They're not like, yeah, always liberalism has been around. It's like, but no, it's been like destitute monarchies, and then we came up with some ideas.
Yeah,
they don't try and claim all of history.
No.
Anyway, Noel says, the wokist that said they can't be reasoned with is right. A rare case of self-awareness from the woke horde. Yes.
Yep.
Free Will says, there is no empathy present in these people. Their language is aggressive. They tolerate no dissent. They are as pitiless as the Borg. If they ever get real power, it'll be a nightmare. Yeah.
Yes, it will. Literally.
A lot of things to agree with today.
Yeah.
So we have something to disagree with in the comments, to be honest, but... The good thing about the Borg as well, like it's a comparison Carl made in one of his videos, and I still see leftists online talking like, yeah, Star Trek shows a socialist paradise. It's like, but they own property? Like, the random characters own property. Like, how does that work? Like, but the Borg don't own property. Classless, stateless society. Whatever. Noel says, a lot of Noel. The university should realize that everything that woke touches turns to crap. If they go woke, there will soon be nothing but an old building filled with weirdos. But that is what they want.
Yeah. Then again, I think some university lecturers are quite happy to be, to reside in a building filled with other weirdos. They earn a very, very good wage about it, what wage from doing so. The majority, I would like to think, are not like that, but I've no doubt that there are some who are quite happy in that complacency.
Yeah, I mean, they are looking for the Borg.
Yeah.
Everyone just relax, we all agree.
I do need to watch Star Trek.
I haven't watched much of it, it's just the references, I understand. So, Justin B, the worst argument I have heard in favour of abortion was the unborn cannot support itself without a mother. Following that lady's argument, abortion would be legal until someone gets a job and starts to buy their own food. Or, to take it to the extreme, until they start growing and hunting their own food.
Yeah. That's where the argument leads, isn't it?
Fair point. I hadn't heard of that before, but that's yeah.
No, I like that.
Certainly can't support myself as a baby. Free Will. Diane Abbott, Mal did more good than harm, a kinder, gentler genocide.
Yep.
Yeah. Free Will, again. Why are you surprised that they would attack a moderate conservative pressure group. These ultra-left people will not tolerate any dissent, say, any degree. You literally have to follow their line 100%, no matter how bonkers.
Yep.
Yeah, I suppose I'm not surprised by it, but I am weirded out that that's the furthest right thing on campus, let's say. Like, a Christian group that thinks abortion is murdering babies is, like, so basic tier in my thinking of, like, what could be out there for right-wing stuff.
Mm.
I'm just surprised that, like, that made them all perk up and be like, we need to shut this down. Like, is there not anything else on campus that's saying anything more extreme?
You think so, but...
Bomb says, I used to be much less conservative on the abortion issue, but the way I've seen some people celebrate abortions is truly sickening. Mm. I can only hope it's a very niche thing, but I have some serious misgivings.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess at the heart of this is the feeling that, well, the way this lobby, kind of this pro-abortion lobby sees it, or the extreme pro-abortion lobby sees it, is unless you're somehow, I don't know, cheering as women come out of the abortion clinic as they have it done, they're somehow going to see you as not in favour of women's rights enough.
Yeah. I mean, interestingly enough, Brave New World wasn't even that insane.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you read it, but there's like a pink abortion clinic in the centre of London, and women just go there and get their abortions if they need them, and then that's it. There's no clapping or anything, as far as I was aware. So, like, even
that wasn't a reference to Brave New World.
Sorry?
No, I wasn't referring to Brave New World. I haven't even read the book yet.
I know, but I mean, in the sense that, like, the idea of, like, what the left want is you clapping and cheering the abortionist and abortioner is even further than the, like, dystopian writings of the
50s. No, it is. Yeah. No.
Alpha of the Beta says, the mentally ill are drawn to the Labour Party like flies to S. They need medical intervention, not a seat in government. I think made evident by the speeches. I can't believe, like, Theresa May almost lost to that. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
student of history. The bastardization of the Gadsden flag is disgusting. The Gadsden stands for anti-authoritarianism and individualism. Find your own damn symbols, you commies. True.
Yeah, can't argue with that. Mm.
Alex Ogle says, ladies and gentlemen, Thomas's face is even more incredulous than when Callum's went with the intersectional wokery. Let the video edits flood in.
I look forward to seeing those.
And on that bombshell, we're actually out of time. So if you want more from us, go to lotusdisease.com. Please subscribe, because that's how you get access to all the premium content and also how we fund the show. And other than that, we'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you and goodbye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.